My heart, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sometime during the night, I woke up and I just, whatever reason, I just prayed, Lord, what do you want me to share today? Because usually I would probably do something on Pentecost, since Pentecost is this Sunday. The Lord said, well, talk to him about the grace of God. He said, talk to him about my grace. I said, well, I feel like I haven't done that, Lord, but I think it's a finishing thing to something I talked about earlier this week, but let me just read a few verses to you. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of experiencing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from works and performance, but that which is through faith in Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may know and experience the resurrection affecting every part of my life. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect or mature, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold of in Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking about this thing, he says, but this one thing I do, but I do not regard myself as having laid hold, but here's the one thing I do. If I'm going to reach forward, if I'm going to press on, I got to forget those things which lie behind. In Philemon, if you were here Wednesday, or if you read the devotional, and then I think Margaret copied it actually and sent it out, Paul said this about himself while he was under house arrest in Rome. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. He said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And even though in the natural it looked like he was a prisoner of Rome, in reality was he was a prisoner of Christ. As I mentioned in that Wednesday night and again the devotional, if Paul had been a prisoner of Rome, it would have meant that Rome was in control of his life, but Rome wasn't in control of his life. He was a prisoner of Christ. He was in Christ, and Christ, he was a volunteer prisoner of love. We've talked about that. And what we said was, is that therefore, if you're in Christ, you're not a prisoner to what other people do to you or say about you or don't do for you that you wanted them to do. You're not a prisoner of circumstances and situations. You're not a prisoner of governments and economies and all those kind of things. You're a prisoner of Christ. None of those things control your life. You're a prisoner of Jesus, and Jesus is ordering your steps, and he alone is in control of your life. That's a great, glorious reality. If you weren't able to be here Wednesday night, CTKers, I would just encourage you with all my heart to go back and listen to that. It's a liberating word from chapter 27 and chapter 28 of Acts about Paul's journey to Rome and how God just ordered his steps and all the things that went with that. But one of the things we didn't mention was this, and that is, if you're in Christ, you're also not a prisoner of your past. And what I've discovered, while Paul said this, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on. And if you don't forget what lies behind, you can't press on. You can't reach for the goal. You'll never make progress. You'll keep getting stuck, stuttering in a place. That's why Paul said, here's the one thing I got to do. I got to forget those things which lie behind. And that can involve a lot of stuff, but let me just put it to you. Here's the word of grace that the Lord told me this morning he wanted me to share. Is that you know you're not a prisoner of circumstance or people or governments or situations, but you're also not a prisoner of your past failure and sin. And what the enemy does when we sin, and I don't know if you've discovered this yet, oh, by the way, you will sin occasionally today. And what the enemy will do is he'll make her a prisoner of that with condemnation and guilt. And it just snuffs out faith that actually you can walk out towards the goal of becoming Christ-like, of laying hold that for which you were laid hold of, to reveal him, to carry him and reveal him in a lost and dying world. But there has to come a place where you understand that if I'm truly repentant, if I've actually confessed, then I'm free to go forward. And I can't allow myself, this one thing I have to do is not let myself be held prisoner to my sin that I've committed, even if it was 15 minutes ago. Here's a place from Lamentations. Really familiar, those who grew up singing hymns, this was hymn, great hymn, great is thy faithfulness. Verse 22, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassion or his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, interesting how he ends that little place. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness to do what? Be compassionate and have mercy, new mercy, every day. He is faithful. That's one thing you can count on. I can tell you this. He doesn't count on you always being faithful. But I can tell you that you can count on him always being faithful, particularly having blown it. And understanding that will keep you from being a prisoner of your sin. And that's one of the most important things that you understand, that you're not a prisoner of your past. Let me just read this familiar passage to you again, and then I'll finish. It's from 1 John. We quote it all the time when we blow it and we sin. Oh, in case I haven't mentioned it, by the way, you will sin today, most likely. You don't have to, but you just might. Now, what I'm telling you doesn't give you permission to sin. If that's your heart, then there's something wrong there in your relationship with Jesus. We have to go back and evaluate whether you know him or not. It says this, this is the message we have heard from him, and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, that's what we were created for, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if walking in the light means I'm never sinning, then why do I need the blood of Christ to cleanse me from sin while I'm walking in the light? Hear that verse again. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, walking in the light can't mean sinlessness. Or if it does, then why am I needing the blood of Jesus to cleanse me of sin while I'm walking in the light? If you go back and read the scripture, walking in light is about being transparent and honest, truthful before God. If we say we have no sin, that's what keeps you from walking in the light, for fellowship, from moving forward. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we'll just confess our sins, the word confess means to agree with. He is faithful, there's that word again, and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to sin. Sin for a repentant heart. The act of sin is not going to keep you out of fellowship with him. It may break fellowship for a moment, but the moment you confess your sins, the blood of Christ cleanses you, so that you can go forward. The only thing that keeps you out of fellowship with God over any period of time, an hour, 2 hours, a day, is not being honest with God about your sin. He's a big boy. He died for the sins of the whole world. He took on the sins of the whole world. He can handle it. He already knows it. He just needs you to say it. That was dirt. Thank you for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. And you put behind you that which lies now. It now lies behind you. And you can go forward as a prisoner of Christ. Being a prisoner of your last sin or your season of sin, letting the enemy keep you there, will keep you from moving forward. We're a prisoner of Christ. And being a prisoner of Christ is believing all those things I said earlier, but also believing that he's so faithful, he's so big, that once I've confessed my sin, he doesn't remember it anymore. And you don't have a right to think things he doesn't think. And if he doesn't think about your sin, he said if you confess, he'll be faithful He set this up this way because he assumed as you learn to as you practice righteousness, practicing means you're going to get it wrong sometimes. So he's already prepared. He was already prepared for you and I and our growing to not always get it right. Haven't you found that it's impossible to walk in faith for the now? It's impossible to walk in faith for the tomorrow if you're in bondage to the yesterday because you're hindered by guilt and condemnation? Don't be a prisoner of that. You're a prisoner of Christ. And being a prisoner of Christ, he's made provision even for your failure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I got one.